So in your booklet on page 100 and I'm sorry, I'll share the screen in a minute. It's 156, right? That's what's opened up. Good, beautiful. Because I just want to read these last few psukim again, and then we're going to see what. Just 1 second, sorry. Okay, very good. All right, so it says over here like this, in Pasuk Lamed, so it's Perek Yud Gimel, and it's Pasuk Lamed. Now, we'll see in a minute where the Jews are at this moment, but the Jewish people are getting very, very upset. They're getting very nervous, very anxious, because the picture that the Meraglim have painted is very scary. Giants, as we said, the land is very fertile, but that's not a good thing, because the reason that the fruits are so big, that shows that there's something wrong with the people. It shows that there's something wrong with the atmosphere we'll see in today. So the people were getting really, really upset. Kalev saw. So what does Kalev do? Vayahas Kalev. So Kalev shushes them. That's what the word vayahas means. Actually, Rashi says he's shushed, literally like this, shush. That's what it says. Es ha'am. El Moshe, to Moshe. It's an interesting terminology in the pasuk, vayoymer, and he said, aloi naale, we shall surely go up, v'yarashnuaysa, and we will conquer it, ki yachal nuchala, for we can surely do it. It's a very strong language. We will for sure go up, and we can definitely do it. It's like a double language. So he's contradicting all of the fear, trying to calm everybody down and get them excited that yes, you can go into Eretz Yisrael. I think we might have read this, just to quickly tell you. So he even said to them, first of all, what does it mean he quieted them down to Moshe? Because he wanted them to give their attention to Moshe. He thought, let me get them quiet, and they don't know what I'm about to say, and let Moshe take over, and maybe he can try to calm them down and remind them how Hashem promised to take you into the land, and that if Hashem promised, for sure he's going to be able to do it, right? And he's going to be able to protect you. So he was calming them down in a way to get Moshe to have the attention back instead of the other 10 of the Meraglim. The people taka looked at Kalev because they didn't know what he was about to say. And I saw there's a bunch of Mefarshim that says that when they were traveling, he acted as if he was on their side. He realized that they weren't leading in a good way, like he knew something negative was going to happen. Wasn't 100% sure, but he felt that. But he still didn't openly contradict them because he wanted to make sure that he had some level of control, as you can see from here, so that he would also be able to talk to the people. Otherwise, if they would know that he's going to contradict, they wouldn't have let him get up there. So what did he say to the people? So he says to them, you know what? Why? First he says, oh, do you remember we said this last time? Do you think that's all Moshe did? And then he starts to tell them about all the special things that Moshe did. But then when it says, aloi na'ala, these are very important words. Rashi says a very powerful thing. He says, afilu bashamayim, even if our destination would be in the heavens, v'hu aymer, and Moshe Rabbeinu would say to us, asu sulamais, make ladders, v'alusham, and go up there, natsliach b'chol dvarav. We would succeed in all of his words. Very strong language that Kalev was using to defend and also to make the people have that, restore their trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. But what does it mean that even if you make us, tell us ladders to go up to the heaven, what does that mean? Because Kalev was trying to give them a very powerful message that the way that Hashem relates to you as a people and the way that Moshe Rabbeinu is Hashem's messenger is not in the natural order of things. We never work naturally. We're always working by miracles. So why are you worried? And even if, like, we would have to go up to, even if it's true, everything that the Meraglim said, even if the nation is so strong and there are giants, and even if we really don't have the strength to do it, doesn't matter. Because even if it needs to go up to the heavens, we can still do it. And especially because Kalev also tells them that the only, and we'll see soon, it comes out again, that the only way that it's possible for these nations to overcome you is if their Sar, which is like their angel that defends them in Shamayim, is still there and able to defend them. But he's not going to be, he's not there anymore. He's gone. They don't have anything. They have no defense. So what are you worried about? We have a direct line to Shamayim, to heaven. You have nothing to be concerned about. So he tries very hard to calm them down. And as Rashi says, Vayahas, hus, like he tells them, shush, be quiet. And that's and he does get them quiet, but it's only temporary. It doesn't help. Okay, let's see on the next page, on page 157, because then he continues, Va'anoshim asher olu ima. So right away they respond. They don't take what Kalev said. They don't take it quietly. They're not letting him get away with it. They say, Amru, loy nuchal. See, they contradict him. He said, Olay nale, kin yachal, you know, we'll be able to. And they say, loy nuchal lales, we won't be able to go up el ha'am to the nation. Why? Ki chazaku mimenu, because they are stronger than us. And then they say all the terrible stuff, ayetziu dibas ha'aretz, and they say all the lashon hara about the land that they saw, that they spied. And what do they say? This land that we passed by, lasuraisa eretz, oicheles yeshvea, right? It's a land that eats its inhabitants. V'chol ha'am asher ra'inu b'seicha, anshei midas, as we said, they were very tall people. And then they describe again, v'sham ra'inu es hanefilim. We went through this last time at length. We saw those giants, those people that fell from the heavens. And the last few words of the perek, v'nehi be'einenu kichagavim, right? We were in their eyes like grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu be'einehem. And so we were in their eyes. It's a little bit of a repetition, but it says we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Right? This is the famous lesson that everybody quotes, that whatever you think of yourself, that's how other people look at you. So because they were afraid and they felt small, so the people also looked at them as small. That's a deeper way. But on a simple level, what they were saying here was, we weren't even only like grasshoppers, we were even like ants. We were even smaller than grasshoppers to them. They were so strong and so tall, and we were so small. And the Medrash describes in a very cute way that we overheard them saying, what are these grasshopper-sized people doing here? Like mamish, that's what they said. That's what the Medrash says. They heard the people talking about them. Did you see these strange little creatures? They look like people, but they're the size of grasshoppers. But they, even though they noticed them, but they didn't give them attention, right? That's a big thing. Because otherwise they could have just stepped on them, right? They could have just killed them. But that was even, in a sense, you would think that would be a message like, why should we be afraid? See, they didn't harm you. You came out alive. But it was even more of a message of scaring the Jewish people. Why? Because they said they are so strong that we didn't even matter to them. They didn't even bother killing us because they didn't even care. We didn't pose any threat to them at all. And that made the people even more afraid. And that was the message that they're giving, that we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Okay? Just want to see. I think, yeah. Look how he says, Rashi says, we heard them saying to each other, Nimolim yesh bikramim. There are ants in the vineyards, which look like men. They look like anoshim. And interesting, it's like in the Kli Yakar, he says, because from a distance they look like grasshoppers, when they came closer, from a distance look like ants, come closer, look like grasshoppers. You know, he looks smaller from a distance, but then whichever way, we were very small because they were mamish giants. Okay, I want you to look at the other sheets that you have in front of you, because I just want to finish just a few of the, some will do inside, some will do orally, of these mefershim. Just want to find it here. And then we're going to go on to see other interesting, fascinating things that happen next. It's not so happy, but it's fascinating. Okay, just want to find it here. Okay, so let's see like this. In your sheets, you have, we did most of the commentaries on this page, on the first one, but the one that says 8, do you see the 8 on that first page, is it? Do you have that?
Yeah,
beautiful. So the Svarnu, he says, Vayahas Kalev Esa'am, that Kalev shushed, quieted down the people. What does that mean? Hishtik es ha'am. He silenced them. Why? Shehayu maschilim me'az loseis kailam. Because now is when they started to cry. We'll see in the next parak, you see how they cried. Here's where they're starting to raise their voices and crying. Like, here's where they're starting to get emotional. So here he shushes them. Like they did afterwards. That the entire nation lifted. And they really cried. So what did he do? That he wants them to listen. To listen what Moshe would respond. And his friend says, maybe as Amar Moshe Masha Hayid Acharkach Ba'imrai Va'imer Aleichem Loi Sa'artsun V'Loi Sira'un Mehem. Maybe there is something that doesn't say in the Psukim that Moshe did answer them here, and we only know about it because afterwards, in the next chapter, when he gets really upset, he says, you know, don't make Hashem upset and don't be afraid, right? So maybe he really said that now, but because they didn't listen, it doesn't actually tell us that Moshe said it now, but later it tells us that that's what he said, and they didn't listen, so Hashem got upset. Okay, and then I just want to see one more thing. Okay, and what did they say? They were crying. The next one is from the next parak. I want to just see one thing from the Rashbam. Okay, let's see number 11. Okay, so now we have number 11. Let's go to the next page. Now, I know it's long. We'll do some inside, some orally, because this is a very beautiful kliyakar. It really gives us perspective to what was going on over here. On the top, it's from what we did last week. So I'll just tell you quickly, orally, the top part. So right, remember how they described the land? It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That's even the Meraglim say that. Because what did they do? They said to Moshe, you know, everything that you told us about the land was true. We came to the right land, we know, because you described it to us and it was exactly how we saw it. So it was 100% true, right? There's nothing missing from what you said. Because what they were trying to show is we didn't go to the wrong land. Don't say that we went to the wrong place and that's why we saw strong people. We went to the exact, perfect, exactly where you're sending us place. Let's just see. And then he says like this. But one thing wasn't exactly as you said. Because Moshe, you said to us to let us know, are the people strong or not? And what sign did you give for that? You said, if they live in cities that are walled, well, then they are not so strong, because that's why they need the wall for protection. If they live in cities that don't have walls, well, then they're really strong. So you know what we saw, they said to Moshe? We saw that they have the most fortified, amazingly strong walled cities, but they are very strong. So that was the only thing that you said that was wrong. And that makes it even double hard for us to even think of conquering them. Okay, so that was the one thing they sort of corrected in a sense. But then, let me just see. Oh, and then we have a very important thing. See where there's a line on the side? What did I do now? Where there's a line on the side, it says, "V'habet yamin ure'ei." It's a very interesting, the Kliyakar says. "Ki heima amru arim gedolim u'bitzurais ma'id." They said, the Meraglim said, that there's big cities and it's very fortified. And then later when Moshe repeats in Parshas Devarim, and he goes through the whole sin again, and he repeats the whole story, Amar Moshe Shaha Meraglim, what does he say that the Meraglim said? Arim Gedolais u'Bitzurais Bashamayim. That they're very big cities and that they're fortified to the heavens. But they didn't really say that. Here we don't find that. Here we only said they're very fortified. The word to the heavens, Moshe added. Why? Because Moshe just understood that that's what they were implying. What's the difference between saying very fortified, very high walls, or saying it all the way went to the heavens? To the heavens, almost exaggerating. Because Moshe said, I heard something else. They weren't saying one thing. They were saying one thing and they meant something much more. What is it? And it was like a secret thing. What is it that they meant? They meant Kfira b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were actually denying, they were contradicting, they were showing how they want to rebel against Hashem. Ki amru chazak hu mimenu, that they are stronger than him, meaning to say, as we mentioned this last week in a different context, that they are like the owner of the house can't even take out his vessels from the house. In other words, they're stronger than God. That's what they said. That's how it is. It's v'amru shechayzek zeh. Where do they get the strength? It comes from koich v'hashamayim, from the stars in the heaven. In other words, they have certain constellations that are protecting them. V'ksileyem v'zeu she'amar b'tzuras b'shamayim. That's why Moshe said when they said that they went all the way to the heavens. In other words, they have spiritual forces that help them. It's not just the physical forces, but they even have magical spiritual forces that help them. And therefore, we don't stand a chance. Shemazolam shabashamayim, their mazel in the heavens, chazok mimenu, it's almost stronger, God forbid, than you can say, than God himself. And initially, the spies didn't say that. They only meant it, but they didn't say it. Because they didn't have the chutzpah to say that. But when Kalev started to contradict them, then they got more chutzpah. Because they wanted to make sure that they're going to scare the people. So then they didn't hold back at all. And then they came out with all of it, as we say. And that's what we see after. After Caliph quietens them, they go even stronger. As we can see, that's why. So he says, Kasher ba Kalev, v'hichichish dvareyem, and he actually contradicts their words, Amru hakfira b'feirush, then they say very clearly the thing that they shouldn't be saying. And what do they say? Ki chazaku mimenu, they are stronger than us. And then they add to what they said before. Okay. The next part is interesting. The Kliyakar, I'll just tell you orally, the next part the Kliyakar mentions, as we saw in the Pasuk, it says, we will surely go up, right? And we will inherit it. That's what Kalev said. Because they will not be able to overcome us, right? And it's a double language. Why does he say it in a double way? Ale nala, we will surely go up. Ki yachal nucha, because we will surely be able to. So the Kliyakar says Kalev was addressing two issues. The first concern was about Hashem himself. Interesting. Because they just said that these people are stronger than God. So that's why he says, Alay na'ale, the one who's higher, God, he for sure can go up. And how dare you say that this could be something stronger than God? That's what he's addressing first. And the second part is how we will definitely, because Hashem is for sure capable, and he will come with us, we will for sure be able to face the challenge. So he addresses both parts, that Hashem can definitely overcome, but not just Hashem, he will go with us and we will also be able to. And it's a very important part. And it's actually, I just want to read one line. He says it very beautifully. He says, Kach nuchel gam anachnu, right? We can also do it because Hashem is with us. Let me just see. The next one, Derech Hasheni. Okay, so Ale. So he says, I'm sorry, the second part, also very sorry. No, there was a second part. What else? Because what, you know, the Meraglim are really trying to scare the people, right? So far it sounds almost like all they were saying was like the nation's so strong, the land is quite difficult, and we'll see in a minute, it makes you sick and whatever else. But there was something else that they did. And this is also something that we find with ourselves. When somebody tries to discourage us, and sometimes it's our own inner voice, what do? They say, you're not capable. Why? Either because you're not good enough, like you're not capable, you don't have the talent, the ability, or they can also say, look how many things you've done wrong. Look how bad you are, so to speak. Look how not good you are. Do you deserve that something good should happen to you? We know that the Yetzer Hara says that all the time. And this is what the Meraglim said. They said, you know, man, you can go up if you're perfect, if you're tzaddikim, but everybody knows they're not tzaddikim. And not only that, but the Meraglim were saying, you know what? Even if you think you're good now, you know that the Yetzirah is very, very strong and very sly. And who says you're going to have the strength to constantly overcome the Yetzirah? And as soon as you don't overcome the Yetzirah, who says Hashem will be with you anymore? And then you won't be able to go up. See, this is very powerful words. And that's what Kalev was trying to preempt. And he said, no, 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 no. Hashem says we're going, he's taking us. Unconditionally. It's not to do with how we behave at the moment, so to speak. And we shouldn't be so concerned that that will make everything not work because of that. As he says, very interesting, he says, only if we take away the heart of stone, right? That's what the Meraglim said. and we transform it to a heart of flesh. In other words, if we feel and we're close to Hashem, that's what it's dependent on. So let's say, and it's dependent on us, right? Because and that's why he says ki chazak hu mimenu. He's stronger than us. And what they refer to is not the nations, but the Yetzihara. The Yetzihara is stronger, and you know it. So how do you have confidence? What makes you feel confident? Forget it, you're not going to be able to do it. And that's why Kalev says, no. Hashem will save us from the Yetzihara. He will give you the strength to overcome even the Yetzihara. That's a very important part. Okay, now, remember in the Pasuk Lamed Beis, as we said before, the last few words were about the grasshoppers, but just before that it said it's a land, as we said, that eats its inhabitants. Remember we said, Rashi said that a lot of people were dying. Hashem made that dafke, so they're busy burying people, so they wouldn't notice the miraglim, right? But the miraglim were so, you know, when it focused on something so negative that they didn't see the miracle in it, and they didn't see the kindness of Hashem in what he was doing. But the Kliyakars looks at it also in a similar but in a deeper way a little bit, that what they were saying is something very subtle and very interesting. They were saying it's a land that actually eats its inhabitants. When we saw so many funerals going on, we realized right away, it's like if you would go to a country and somebody would tell you that there's a lot of sick people there. Well, are you going to think of living there? No, it's quite scary. And what they said was, if the place is such a bad atmosphere, it has such a bad environment, that even the people who are used to living there can't cope with it and get sick and die, we, who are not used to it, are going to come there and we're going to be dead in a minute. In a way, they're right? But obviously, that wasn't what was going on, because it's not an unhealthy place. Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's not unhealthy, it's a very healthy place. It's a place with flowing with milk and honey. It's a place which has an incredible, clean and clear environment. But they said, no, look what's going on. And actually, they proved it from the big fruits. Because you know why there's big fruits? Not because it's a fatty land, but because it's sick. Something's wrong there. You know, like, I don't know, like in Chernobyl, right? What happened? Everything grows crazy over there from the nuclear. Yeah, so that's what they were saying. There's something sick in the atmosphere there. And that's what's making everything distorted. And that's how they really put fear into the people. I mean, you can imagine. They were petrified. And Kalev is trying to contradict them, but they're very strong in what they're saying. I just want to see if there was anything else. Okay. Oh, and that's what also they say about the giants, that even the giants, they say, that originally were so much taller. Remember we said over the generations they got smaller. Because it's not a healthy place, even they got a bit smaller. Nephilim, they got smaller. They fell from their great heights. So for sure, us weak people who are coming in not so strong to begin with, we're definitely not going to be able to survive there. So that's what he's saying to them. And then the last thing... you see what he said. The last thing over here. Yeah, again, it's an interesting. It's on Mezeg Ha'avir because of the environment. That's why the fruits are. So let's see on the top. The Amru Lahem Yehoshua V'Kalev. So that's why Yeshua and Kalev Taka respond, and they say specifically Ha'aret. We didn't read that pasuk. It's in the next chapter. We're going to see in a minute. The land is Toiva Ma'id Ma'id. It's a beautiful language. Very, very good. Why do they say it's very, very good? Because they're actually answering, responding to two parts. Hein mitzad piria, one because of the fruits, and because of the mezeg ha'avir, right? The weather, the environment. It's a good place. It's healthy. Everything is healthy about it. Ve'ein taivas ha'peris toli b'chaim ha'avir, and the good fruit is not dependent on the heat of the place, of the atmosphere of the air. Ki'im b'shmanununis ha'aretz, only because of the fat of the land. V'hanoisein, that gives mesikos sweetness to the fruits. And that's why they said, Eretz zavas chalav udvash, right? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Ki habehema gidulei karka mikre. V'hadvash bonoi kinoi el hamesikos. Haba mishmanei ha'aretz. Because the animals, that's really referring to not only the animals, but it's referring also to what grows from the land. And then what we talk about when we talk about the sweetness, as we say, the honey, so that is referring to all of the fats of the land, which makes the fruit grow beautifully. And then he says, another very important word, sorry, We didn't read that pasuk yet. Maybe that's why. Afterwards, they say the Meraglim, when they respond now to Kalev, they call the people Anshei Midos, and Anshei Midos really just means people of stature, like Midah measurement. They're very tall. So the Kli Yakar says that they were saying something else, and this was the worst in a way. That's like really hitting below the belt. They said, you know, because they saw people dying there. Sometimes you see people dying because they don't behave, right? So they're not good people. They deserve to die. But what did the Meraglim imply? No, these were very good people. I saw. They said we saw. They keep everything properly. They live good, moral, ethical lives. And nevertheless, they were all dying. So again, trying to show them, no matter what you're going to do, you're not going to win. It's going to be terrible for you if you go there. So quite a powerful language. And that's what Yeshua and Kalev had to respond to, such terrible things. But the Meraglim counteracted and even said stronger, no, these are even good people. And even they couldn't survive in the land. But that's when, that's interesting. And that's, let me just see. Over here, just read this last. He says, and that's why it's so Kalev and Yeshua say it's a good land, and they say ki lachmeinuhem, that they are going to be bread for us. We're going to be able to eat, to take it, to overcome them. And he says, because definitely they say no, it's not true. They're good people. They definitely died by their sin. Let me just see. Ra'akadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem saw that even the seven mitzvahs b'nei Nayach they didn't keep. That's what he says. And that's why Hashem said that I'm going to let the Jewish people inherit even their money, because they don't even deserve their financial things, never mind their land. So for sure they're not good people. So what are you worried about? They're definitely not good people. And that's also why even their one protector, as we mentioned, Eiv, even he died. The one tzaddik that was there, even he's gone. So what are you worried about? There's nobody righteous there. There's nobody good there. For sure, you'll be able to overcome them. That's very, very powerful language, but we see still the people were petrified. Now, I want to show you something. Okay, I'm going to give you something else because I want to follow with, it's very nice to follow. Actually, read first this, and then we'll... that's the end of these patterns. I want to just read the next few psukim, because this gives us the next part of the story. Okay, so now they're very afraid. So let's see what happens now that they're petrified. Okay. So Kalev tried to calm them down, but what happens? So if you look into Pasuk, in the sheets that you have in front of you, let me just find them here. So now we start the chapter 14, Perek Yudalid. I'll read these psukim. I know we're not going to have time to do a lot, but it doesn't matter. We'll see from the psukim and then we'll do more. It's just fascinating. Even the psukim themselves are amazing. Okay, so Perek Yudalid. So now what happens? The people say like this. Vatisa. Okay, so now after they hear what the Meraglim responds to Kalev, now what happens? Vatisa Kol Ha'eda. So the entire congregation raised up. Vayitnu Es Kailam, and they lifted their voices. Vayipchu, and they cried. Who cried? The nation. Balayla Hahu. On that night. Which night was it? Yeah, Tisha B'Av, this is the famous thing. They cried. And we say, because they cried for nothing, Hashem says, I'll give you something to cry for, as we say. But just wanted, before we go a little bit, let me read two more psukim, and I would want to show you the flow of what's happening here. And what did they cry? V'yaloinu al Moshe. And they're, like, in here they translate, they're murmuring. They're, like saying terrible things about Moshe and about Aaron, who, all of the Jewish people, Kol B'nai Yisrael, Vayomru Aleihem, Kol Ha'eda, and the entire nation, the entire assembly said to them, so they said to Moshe and Aaron, who are standing there and getting more and more upset, but they said to them, Lu Mosnu Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Halavai, that we should have died in Egypt, right, as he says, Oi, and if not in Egypt, at least, Bamidbar Hazeh, in this desert, Lu Mosnu, we should have died. In other words, don't take us into the land. They're going to massacre us. Much better if we die now. The Lama Hashem, maybe I sonu, Elor, it's a wise Hashem taking us to the land, Hazais, this land. Linpal Bacherev, to die by the sword. Nashenu Vitapenu, our wives. See, they're very emotional. The Meraglim are stirring everybody. Who's going to die? Our wives. Tapenu are the young children. Yiyu Lavaz, they will be taken captive. Halayf toiv lanu shuv mitzrayma, better if we go back to Egypt. And then vayomru ish el achiv, so each man said to his friend, nitna roish, Let us, and here they translate, appoint a leader, or let us turn direction. And they wanted to appoint new leaders. Let's get rid of Moshe and Aaron, and let's have new leaders who really care about us, and they will lead us back. V'nashuva Mitzrayim. Could you imagine, after they finally left Egypt, they're ready to go back? Nebuch, okay. And what happens then? We know, V'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem. They are so upset, Moshe and Aaron. Here we have Hashem promised Avraham this most magnificent land. They're about to enter. Hashem did such miracles for them, showed them how much he cared about them. And what are the people doing? They're responding in such a way with such fear and such anxiety and such rebellion against Hashem and such no gratitude at all, right? Let's just go back to Egypt. And what does Moshe and Aaron do? They fell on their faces in front of Lifnei Kol Kal Adas Bnei Yisrael, in front of the entire congregation. What do Yeshua and Kalev do? How do they react? V'Yeshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefuna min hatarim. Those were the ones who actually went, were the two of the Meraglim, the ones who spied. Esaret Karu b'Gdeim. They actually tore Kriya. They were really in mourning. And what happens in the last, I just want to read one more pasuk. Vayimru el kol adas bnei Yisrael leimar. And they tried one last time, and they said to the people, to the Jewish people, ha'aretz asher avarnu ba, the land that we went through. In other words, we were also there. Losur oisa, to spy. Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. It's very, very good, as the Kli Yakar pointed out, right? Don't worry. All the things they're saying, don't worry about it. And in chafetz banu Hashem, if Hashem wants us, the hevi oisanu el ha'aretz, he will bring us to ha'aretz hazayis, to this land, unisan olanu, and he will give it to us. Eretz asher hi zavas chalav udvash. Don't forget, this is a beautiful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they warn them one last time. They say, Ach b'Hashem al timroidu. Do not rebel against Hashem. V'atem al tiru. And don't fear the people, Es'am ha'aretz, the people of the land. Interesting, the Mefarshim say, this is a flow. He says, if you don't rebel against Hashem, then you don't have what to be afraid of. If you rebel against Hashem, you do have what to be afraid of. You're right. But if you don't, you have nothing to fear. And why shouldn't you be afraid? Ki lachmeinu heim. They are our bread. In other words, just like we eat bread and we consume it, we will consume those people. They will be easy for us to take over. Sar tzila me'aleihem. Their protection has departed. V'Hashem itanu, and Hashem is with us. Al tira'um, again, do not fear them. V'yayimru kol ha'eda, and how do they respond? This is so sad. Lirgoy v'aysam ba'avanim. They want to actually throw stones on Yeshua and Kol. They want to kill them. Ba'avanim v'chvayit Hashem. And what happens? Why didn't they? Because the glory of Hashem appeared ba'ayil mayed before the Jewish people. In other words, Hashem appeared and that protected Yeshua and Kalev. So I just want to share how the Me'am Lo is. He explains it so beautifully. How is this flow? And then we'll see what Moshe does. And Hashem gets really, really upset. Very upset Hashem gets. Because again you tested, again.
I'm just
going to
take it.
Oh, of course. So what happens here? So we say like this, that very fascinating. The Meraglim were standing right in front of the people when they came back, yeah? And they started to try and scare the people. And we saw that, what did Kalev do? He shushed them, right? Shush! And then he started to say how amazing the land is. And then Moshe and Aaron are standing there. So the Meraglim, the Mamre has explained, saw that they couldn't get a word in edgewise, right? Because Kalev is there. He has somehow a very strong command, and he's starting to convince the people. They saw. So what do the Meraglim do? They're not stupid. They say, okay, we'll call it a night. They go back to the tents, and they start to gather people around them in their individual tents. And they start to literally put the fear of I don't know what into them. That's when they tell them all the details, how the land is so sick, and how we're like grasshoppers, and how the people were dying, and how it's a place that will never, and it's so fortified, and these giants. So they tell the people individually in their own tents. And what ends up happening is that each tent, you can hear the cries. So imagine if you hear your neighbors crying. So you wonder what's going on. So then you start to join, and then you start to join. And then it became more and more groups of people who were listening. And it says that the Meraglim were good actors, it seems, because what happened was, the Me'amleis describes, they were sitting and talking, and when the people started to ask them more questions, they couldn't even move. Like they were sort of stuck to their seats. You know, they were so overcome with like this fear and this, you know, this worry for the people, as if they care about the people, right? So it says that they just sat there, and then the more and more people gathered. And you could imagine, that's why it says that the voices, they lifted their voices in crying. So the men, the women, the children, and everybody's joining, and there's more wailing, and there's more wailing. And as the night goes on, everybody is crying and crying. You could imagine the sight now. So now when it comes towards morning or whatever time it was, and Yahushua, and as we saw, Moshe and Aaron saw the people crying, and then they see Moshe and Aaron, they say, well, let's get rid of them, right? Look at these people. They're the ones who are going to take us into this terrible land. And Yahushua and Kalev see, and that's why they tear their garments. Because when you see the entire nation, literally, all wailing and crying, and acting in such an, as we said, such an ungrateful way, and so afraid, they felt, oh my gosh. But they did give it one last try, as you saw. Even though there was a big tumult, and even though it was almost impossible, they still gave it one last try. And that's why they said, shh, calm down, guys. It's not true what the Meraglim are saying. Just believe in Hashem. Don't be afraid. That's it, their biggest message. Don't be afraid. If Hashem is with us, even if everything they say is true, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And yet they couldn't hear it anymore because they had worked themselves up so badly emotionally. They had worked themselves up into such a terrible state. And that's why they couldn't hear it. And they said, we'll get new leaders. We'll get rid of Moshe and Aaron. We'll get new leaders and we'll go back to Egypt. And how did they convince the people about that to go back to Egypt? They said, at least in Egypt, we'll work, but we'll survive. But if we go to the Eretz Canaan, forget about it. We are not going to survive. We're going to be totally destroyed. Now we have a terrible situation happening there, because not only are the people in such a terrible state, but they're about also to do something even worse. And that's what happens here. Now they get so upset and so angry because Yahushua and Kalev even dared to try and calm them down, that they're ready to take stones, and they even had stones in their hands, ready to literally stone Yahushua and Kalev and kill them. And that's when Hashem says, enough is enough. And he comes down and he appears. And Hashem is obviously really upset. And this is where he deals with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, enough, I had enough of these people, right? But I just want to share one or two few very nice things that it says in these psukim, when it says, first of all, Sar Tzilam Me'alehem, their protection has departed from them, right? That's what Yeshua and Kalev said. Why are you afraid? Who is the protection? Remember we mentioned Eiv. Even he's gone. What are you worried about? They don't have any defense. Nothing to defend them. And not only that, Eiv is gone, and all of the heavenly angels that should be there to protect them are gone. We know they're gone. Don't be afraid. See, they try so hard. And this very fascinating words of Lachmenu, right there, it's there are bread. What does it mean, there are bread? So they actually were saying to the people, just like, you know, we have to eat bread. And when you eat bread, it's very interesting. You eat bread. And in order to eat bread, you have to put a lot of effort in. You have to first plant, then you have to go out and plow, and, you know, all the different things. Plow first, then plant, then sow, then bring in the seeds. And then afterwards, you make the flour, and you have to grind it, then you have to bake it. And then what ends up happening after all of that? You have a beautiful loaf of bread, you eat it, and you're satisfied, you're full. So I said, even though it's true that to go into the land of Israel will take effort, it's not going to come easy, we're going to have to fight and it's going to take time, but it's worth it because afterwards they will be like bread to us. In other words, we will be able to sustain ourselves, we will live in this land, and we will be comfortable and happy, and Hashem will be there to protect us. So this is how they tried so hard to explain to the people. And even more than that, the deeper message, because what's underneath it all, you know, the Meraglim are not stupid. So on the one hand, they try to make everybody afraid, which they're managing very well. And on the other hand, they even appeal to the righteous people, right, as we know, because even the ones who trust in Hashem, they say to the people, you know what? Even if you're righteous and you go into the land, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have to deal with a lot of wars and a lot of material things and a lot of physical things, and that's not so good. Here it's so much better spiritually. So that's also why Yeshua and Kalev say, Lachmeinu. They are our bread. Because just like we know that Hashem makes one day a year Yom Kippur, right? But the rest of the time it's not Yom Kippur. We have to eat. We have to drink. We have to live in this physical world. That's what Hashem wants. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It says even Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of also judgment, who goes to court and as they're going to court makes a festive meal, which meshugin it. Nobody, except for the Jewish people. Because we are so confident that we are going to have a good verdict. That's what it says. That's what the Chachamim describe. That we say, Rosh Hashanah, you're meant. I know in South Africa, it's always the which meat is it? The brisket and the you know, whatever people choose, the best choice of meat and the night. And there are special recipes and special things. And it's actually a mitzvah, actually halacha, that you should have the best wine, the best meat. Rosh Hashanah is a time that we are meant to, yes, be in shul and daven, but also come home and have a good meal, right? Because that's how Jewish people live. Exactly. We are festive and we have confidence. And the idea being that when we eat in order to... That's also part of our service of Hashem. That's just as much part of the yontif as the shul part is. And we know that. And that's the idea. Lachmeinu hein. That's the purpose. That's what Hashem wants from us. So why are you contradicting Hashem's will? That's what Kalev and Yeshua are trying to tell the people. But the biggest message that they're giving them is, don't be afraid. And that's the hardest thing. That's what we have to tell ourselves. Because this is what plagues us. This is what makes life difficult. When we are afraid, when we wake up in the morning and we think we can't do it, then we can't do it. But if we think we can do it, at least sometimes we can do it. Otherwise, we don't stand a chance. And that's what Kalev and Yeshua are telling them. And I'll just quickly, I know it's a few more minutes. I think we might do a little more depth next time, but I just want to show you what happens now. Because now, okay, so the people are wailing, screaming, crying, ready to stone Kalev and Yeshua, and Hashem appears. And look what it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Now Hashem is really upset. Ad ono yinatsuni ha'am hazeh. Until what point? How much longer are these people gonna anger me? Ad ono lo ya'aminu bi. How much longer? How much can I endure that they will not believe in me? Look, b'chol ha'aisai sasher asisi. All of the miracles, all the signs that I did for them. That's what Hashem tells us every day. I've done so much for you. Why don't you believe in me? Bekirbay, amongst them, in their midst. So what's going on? He is so... let me just see if Rashi says. Rashi says, B'chol ha'aisais, b'shvil kol hanisim, because of all the miracles, sh'asisi lahem, that I did for them, hayo lahem lahamin, they should have believed, sh'hayecheles b'yadi l'kayim haftachasi, that I have the ability to fulfill my promise, right? Why are they so afraid? I can do it. Look what I've done till now. What are you afraid of? It's interesting though. I'm just wondering, what do you think? How did they scare the people? The people just experienced the 10 plagues, right? They saw what Hashem did to the Egyptians. What do you think they said to the people that made them more afraid? Why did they think Hashem can't take care of where they're going if Hashem already took care of the Egyptians? What's different about where they're entering to where they left? So it's very interesting. One of the logic that they used was, they said, Egypt is one nation. You're going into a country which has seven nations. That's too much. That's what they said. One nation Hashem could do, but seven nations, that's going to be way too much. You see, so they find ways of even logically trying to scare them. And that's what they said. And Hashem says, what? I did so many miracles, not enough. How could they not believe in me? And that's when Hashem is really upset. So what does Hashem propose to do? Akenu, I will smite them, badever, with the plague, and whatever, I rishenu, and I'll destroy them totally. Hashem wants to literally annihilate them. The esa oischa l'goy gadol, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, and I will make you into a great nation. Don't worry, you're not going to be dead. I'll make you alive. I'll keep you alive. And from you, I will rebuild the nation. And what kind of a nation? Goy gadol v'atzal mimenu, a greater and more powerful nation than they. Moshe has a very interesting proposition here. Think about it. He has now the choice that Hashem could get rid of the whole Jewish nation, right, who are driving him crazy. That's all they do. They seem so ungrateful. And he can become the beginning of a new nation. How does he respond? Well, we know Moshe. Vayomer Moshe, so Pasuk Yud Gimel. El Hashem. Moshe, this is very cryptic, because Moshe thinks, what's he going to say? How is he going to respond to this? So could he say to Hashem, the Jewish people are good? Well, they're not so good. Could he say, give them another chance? Hashem already gave them 10 chances. It says this was the 10th test. 10 chances. How many chances could a person give? He couldn't say it. He had nothing of weight to argue with Hashem. How could he defend the Jewish people? So he has to come up with a plan. How does he defend the Jewish people? He actually doesn't. He doesn't defend them. He just gets Hashem to agree not to destroy them. And how does he do that? So it says, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Vishamu Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will hear, Ki ha'elisa b'kaychacha es hamazem ikirboy, that you who brought this nation out from their midst, it continues in the next pasuk, Va'amru el yoshev ha'aretz hazay shamu, and they will say about the inhabitants of this land, Shamu ki ato Hashem bekerev ha'amazeh, having heard that you Hashem are in the midst of this people, asher ayin ba'ayin nira, that they saw literally that you appeared eye to eye with them, I'll tell you what he means, and now ato Hashem, And you Hashem, not only do you like meet them eye to eye, but anenecha oimed aleihem, your cloud is on top of them. Uba amud ananata oilech lufneim, and you go before them with a cloud of glory, yoimam during the day. Uba amud eish laila, and with a fire at night. What's he saying? He has this whole long conversation with Hashem. The people will hear. He's talking about the Egyptians and the Canaanites. What are they going to hear? They're going to hear that the nation that you took out of Egypt and that you love and that you loved and that you treat so well, they don't know what the people did now, right? So it would be like, imagine if you see a parent, let's just say if you walk into Kohl's and you see a parent, a child who looks so beautiful and charming and amazing. And I mean, nowadays nobody would do it, but the parent, let's say, gives a child a little patch, right? Or punishes them or whatever, speaks to them harshly. So if you're coming from the outside, you think, Nebuch, this poor child has such a harsh parent, such an angel of a child, right? You have no idea the 5 seconds before what that child was just doing, right? You have no clue of how this child's no angel. Never mind. And the parent had no choice. That's what Moshe is saying. They don't know what the Jewish people did. And to the people, they look like always that you treat the people with, you love them. You love them so much because look what you do for them. You have this cloud of glory and you give them the Torah and you do such miracles for them. So what must be the reason that you're destroying them? What will the people think? The only reason, the only logic of why you're destroying them? Let's say the child asks for a nash from the parent and the parent says no. And looks like such an angel of a child. So you think, why is the parent saying no? The only reason is because the parent can't afford to buy the nash. Not that the child doesn't deserve it. No. The parent can't afford to buy it for them, right? That's why the parent has to be so harsh and say no. So that's what Moshe says. Interesting. He says to Hashem, what's going to happen? And now, Ve'heimata es ha'om hazeh, ki ish echad, you're going to destroy them like one, in 1 minute, in one go. What will that show? So all the nations that hear this report, what will they say? It's only because Hashem can't. Bring this nation, El Haaretz, to the land. Asher nishba lahem, that he promised them, and therefore, vayishchetem bamidbar. That's why he destroys them and he shechts them in the desert. What strong language. So Moshe says to Hashem, it's not in your best interest to destroy them. If you destroy them, who is it going to reflect badly on? Not on them, but on you. Exactly. Like sometimes parents and teachers have that fear. If they want to discipline, they say they can't because it's going to reflect badly on them, not on the child. And Moshe says that to Hashem. Interesting, Hashem, it's a fascinating argument. It's all like, it's a bit of a flawed, kind of a thing. And Hashem buys it. He says, okay, I won't destroy them all. What does Hashem say, rather? Who's Yes going to destroy? Exactly. Only those men from the age of 20 to 60, and very slowly. Not in 1 minute, but very, very slowly. Very interesting thing that we're going to, I know we're going to, in Birz Hashem, continue next week to understand more in depth how this conversation works and why this works. But one beautiful, the few beautiful ideas here, but one very nice thing we see, first of all, now we come to Rosh Hashanah. And a lot of the davening, you know, when we ask Hashem to give us a good year, so we say to Hashem, we don't deserve it, even in the Avinu Malkeinus, right? It's not because of our good deeds, it's not because we're such holy people, not because we're so special, but rather, Asei Leman Shemecha, right? Do it for your sake. What does it mean for your sake? Because when the Jewish people are thriving, when we have peace in Israel and when we have peace wherever we are, and when we are doing well, it's actually a Kiddush Hashem. People say, look at the Jewish people. They have a God that loves them, that takes care of them. But when the Jewish people are suffering, it actually reflects badly on Hashem. So what kind of a people is this? And what kind of God do they have? Nobody wants to have a bar of it. So that's part of the argument. We use the same argument that Moshe Rabbeinu used. We say to Hashem, it's in your best interest to give us a good year, because this will cause a Kiddush Hashem. And the truth is, the Kiddush Hashem will come through if we use the blessings Hashem gives us in the right way. That's our part of the deal. And that's what we actually respond. So we say to Hashem, do it for your sake. But we also say, and then when you give us a good year, Mirtz Hashem, which for sure He will, and give us everything we need, and give us all the, you know, the health and the parnasa and everything that we need, that a Jewish person needs, the two main things, everybody should be healthy and everybody should have what to eat and safe place to sleep, then we promise you that we will use it to make more Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. We'll use it properly. And then people will say, wow, look at this beautiful people. Look at them. And that we reflect Hashem in this world. So we use Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments also in our davening. And then over here, after we didn't get it, Moshe Rabbeinu evokes also the 13 attributes of mercy, which we do a lot over Yom Tov. And in Mirtz Hashem, Hashem should give us all a good year. We should really have a ksiva, the chasima teva for all of us. Just a healthy year, simchis, and more simchis in Mirtz Hashem, and kayach to travel for the simchis, and yeah, we should have only brachas, all of us. Mirtz Hashem.